This morning we are, our message is in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27. In the Old Testament, you could, if you can find Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, and then you'll find 1 Kings. So, in the Old Testament. The subject's on heaven today. While I was at camp, some of the kids was asking Beth about heaven, and so we was talking about heaven. You know, if you're going to go somewhere on vacation, you normally check it out, don't you? You get online or you read about it because you want to know what it's like. You want to know what you'll be doing. All the good things about vacations and things like that here on earth. But those things are only temporary, aren't they? You go for maybe a week or two, and then you're back home and back into the same routine before you left. But when you think about heaven or eternity, it's forever. So, as Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, we're going to spend eternity in heaven. It's good to know where and what and what heaven's going to be like. And from the Old Testament through Revelation, it tells us about heaven. And there's a lot involved in heaven and in our preparation and actually being ready when our time comes. You know, we sing about it, we talk about it. And this morning, as I was reading and this past week in 1 Kings, you know, Solomon is building the temple. He wants God's blessing. He draws an assembly together and they pray. And then verse 27 here in 1 Kings chapter 8, it's a prayer of dedication. And, you know, we'll be dedicating or we'll be celebrating, you know, in a month or so about our payoff of the Family Life Center. So we give God all the glory and all the praise for what he does in our lives. And here Solomon is thanking God. And in verse 27, follow along with me as we look at this, the majesty of heaven. And in verse 27, it says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold." Now look at this verse. "Behold heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you." And that is true, isn't it? Nothing can contain God because he is in total existence of every space in the universe, in a galaxy, in the solar system, in the heavens, even in the highest heaven, which would be considered the third heaven. We'll talk about that later. "But behold, the heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house which I have built." So we want to talk about heaven today. There are three different heavens discussed in the Bible. The first, there is the atmosphere just above the earth. And that would be the air, that would be the clouds, and etc. And then you have the second, that's the stellar heaven containing the stars, all the planets. And by the way, there's probably planets out there in the far distance that has not been discovered yet, because the scientists, and if you look at in the Bible and as it explains God's great creation, if I'm correctly, light travels 190,000 feet per second. So that means that those distant planets have not got here yet. The discovery of them. You think about it. That's how huge the solar system, God's creation, That's how far it is. I just wanted to throw that in this morning because it is, when you think about how God designed every little particle, every little thing in His creation, it's awesome. And finally, we have what the Bible calls the third heaven. And Paul even talked about the third heaven, going up to the third heaven and getting a glimpse of the glories of God. And the third heaven is where God's throne is located. It's the place called paradise. If you recall the thief on the cross, when he looked to Jesus and said, "Would you remember me in paradise?" Talking about heaven. And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in heaven." So it's where the saints of God are, waiting for the resurrection of the bodies. So where is heaven? How do you get there? And what is it going to be like? It's going to be awesome. Well, we don't know all the answers, but we know that heaven is always referred to as up, or in scientific matters, out in space, out in the heavens. And we know that there's no stairway leading there. We can only imagine some of the answers that we can even come up, the questions that we can come up with. And we should take some time and just imagine. But the Bible tells us quite a bit about heaven. There's more mention about hell than there is heaven. And the worst thing that could happen to any soul that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, it's bad enough that you'll be tormented eternally with fire and brimstone, but to be separated from the love of God, from the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and died for our sins, that would be the ultimate penalty of missing heaven. The Bible says that there are windows in heaven. The windows are always spoken of as being open to pour out the things from God. And sometimes blessings are poured out, and sometimes curses. And sometimes the same thing is a blessing to some is a curse to others. And if you looked at Malachi and 2 Kings and Isaiah and even in Genesis, it talks about the windows of heaven, the blessings along with the curses that are poured out upon these generations. So, also concerning the door in heaven, John tells us in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Can you imagine John just sitting there and beholding all of the glory of God, and the voice of God speaking to him, said, "Come up here, hither, and I'll show you things that you can't even imagine." So the first thing he saw was a throne, the throne of God. And John tells us that it was marvelous. This is God's throne. He was sitting on his throne. It looked like jasper and sardine stone and emerald. It is hard for the infinite mind to grasp all of these things that John was seeing. And we can only imagine the beauty and the radiance of God. In Psalms 11:4, it tells us, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice I heard was that of a trumpet talk with me, said, Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter." Now, in Psalms 11:4, the psalmist cried out, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is heaven." So the first tree, first thing was a tree of life. And this tree was the Garden of Eden, even for Adam and Eve. It looked like jasper and sardine stone and emerald. But also, this was after the fall of man, an angel was posted at the gate with a revolving sword to keep Adam and Eve or anyone from going back in. And on the tree, there's 12 different kinds of fruit each month. And the leaves were of the healing of the nations. The Bible tells us about that. And then the beautiful river of life, as we see, was flowing out from under the throne, and pure water of life was freely accessible. The streets were made of pure, transparent gold, suggesting the immolation of the impurities which cloud stains here on earth. And then as John took a look, he saw the 12 gates of pearl, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the west, and 3 on the east. But Jesus will be what makes heaven for all of us. He is what will make heaven for me and for you. In part, what will make heaven is what won't be there. You think about that. All the things that we deal with on a daily basis, I hear people say, oh, I'm hurting, I got aches and pains. I've got things you can't even imagine. I shriek when I walk. You know, I hurt when I bend. Do this. But there will be no more tears, the Bible says. No death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, no night, no curse, no hunger, no thirst, or hundreds of other things that have plagued us here on earth. The great host of angels or messengers will be busy serving God and carrying out everything, every desire. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, you know, God sent a multitude of angels to the earth, praised and cried out, glory to God. Every day we will be singing and glorifying God, saying glory to God. You know what? Can you imagine the music, the instruments, and the things that we'll be praising God with? You know, we have glitches here here on earth, don't you? We have glitches from Sunday to Sunday, even with our projector system or anything. But there won't be any in heaven. Everything will be wonderful. And we can try to imagine these things, and the artist can attempt to justify, you know, the things. But as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. This is what Paul was saying when he saw the third heaven. Neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. See, do you see the expression there? For those who love God, if we really love God, you know, we'll be looking forward to our time with him in heaven. See, we can only imagine heaven will involve, there will be a review. You think about it. You know, we see reviews, or we in our jobs or in anything that we do, there's a review. And the Bible talks about different reviews. The first thing on the schedule after getting there, there's a judgment seat. Paul explains in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it is good or bad. So that's one of the first things that would take place. There is a judgment seat. It's so important. I want to tell you, it is so important for you and me every day when we pray, Lord, as I stand, as I pray, if there's any sin in my life, and you know what? The Lord will reveal those things to you. That's the Holy Spirit. So that when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you won't have to say, oh me, am I thinking, did I forget anything? Because it will come up. it will be revealed. And when we are saved, you see, all of our past sins, that's not what's going to be brought up to us. It's those things that we haven't asked forgiveness for after we've been saved. So it's so important. Each day when the Holy Spirit reveals to us, whether it's attitude, it's anger, whatever it might be in our lives, behaviors or habits that doesn't belong in the Christian life, if we don't ask forgiveness, the Lord said, well, you know, yesterday you did this. You didn't ask forgiveness. Your life has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you didn't ask forgiveness for this. But praise God, you know, it won't keep us out of heaven, but it can rob us of the awards or the blessings that God intended for us. Sin will not belong and will not get into heaven, and we will be standing before God, giving an account of it. Following this, there will be a great marriage feast of the Lamb revealed in Revelation 19:7, which says, let us rejoice. See, after God clears the air, he said, okay, remember this sin? And we have to agree with him because God's always right. We have to agree with him. And then, after all of that, we stand before God, then he will say, let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Amen. See, only the saved will be involved in this, in these. And here, every man's work will be tested by fire to see what sort it is. Sincere dedication will pay great dividends on this day. Our commitment, our dedication to the Lord will pay great dividends for us as we remain pure and holy and as we stand before God in heaven. What a wonderful day that would be. And then heaven is a place of records. The Lamb's Book of Life. Think about it. The Lamb's Book of Life is there and the other records books at the judgment seat and at the great white judgment throne. Now, the great white throne is for the lost. The judgment seat of Christ is for the Christians. But there will be a great white throne later. But God has a great recording system to preserve every idle word. Think about it. Every idle word that we've ever spoken. Every word, every thought, every deed we've done is recorded. The sounds of earth broadcast can be heard in space. And scientists are working on a machine now that will use radioactive material to bring voices out of the rocks and trees. They're actually working on things like this. God's in control of all of that too, though. But just thinking about it, and we can be sure that God has things recorded. And we're told to rejoice because of this. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, it says, but rather rejoice because your names are written there in heaven, or recorded. And then in Hebrews 12:23, we read, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. But you know what? How sad it will be for those that their names have been blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. If you remember when Dr. Harold Hunter was here and preaching in our revival, he mentioned that from the very beginning of time, our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Just like when you're born at the hospital, your name is recorded. They have a record of your birth. They have a record of how much you weighed, how long you are, and all of that. In heaven, when we are born, our names are written down. in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the provisions are given for you and me through the Lamb's of God to be saved. But if that never happens, the Bible says in the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, that our name will be blotted out. It will be taken or removed from the Lamb's Book of Life. So we have that opportunity. If our name is written there, how wonderful and glorious. Everyone needs to keep it there, but everybody through generations haven't kept it in the Lamb's Book of Life, and their names have been blotted out and will be. See, you can die in cancer and go to heaven like Miss Naomi Baker, bless her heart, and others. You can die in liver trouble and go to heaven. You can die with pancreatic disease, trouble, and you can still die and go to heaven. You can die in kidney trouble like some have and go to heaven. You can die in sugar diabetes or poverty or loneliness, rash, poor, and still go to heaven. You can die in a car accident and still go to heaven, but you can't go to heaven with sin. Sin is not going to be there. And John tells us in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast out in the lake of fire. And then heaven is a place of reward. See, Jesus is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. It says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Great is your reward in heaven. Let me read that again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Here he was talking to the multitudes along with the disciples, reminding them of their responsibilities here on earth to live a life that they will be blessed. And he said, great is your reward if you remain faithful and true to the Lord. See, Jesus went on to say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor corrupt, nor where thieves can break in and steal. See, this is our heavenly safe deposit box, I would call it, to lay up our treasures in heaven. Bible also says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Will be rewards for sincerity, for the suffering, for the service. To think along this line, it should excite our heart. It should make us so wonderfully overwhelmed with God's goodness and his grace that we should be excited just at the thought of our entrance into heaven. And then there will be such eternal joy in heaven. The greatest joy that comes to heaven is because of our souls coming to Christ. In Luke chapter 15, verse 7, it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over the sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I was just thinking, when was at church camp a week ago, with all the children came forward and made decisions, with all the heavens and angels and hosts just proclaiming and celebrating over those children. But it says here, if one, just one, repents, there's rejoicing. So you see, it's not only is it a host of a lot of people coming into Jesus Christ, but if one, you know, that's one that Satan doesn't get. That's one that Satan is not going to take with him to destruction. What a joy it is to be able to witness people coming to Christ, knowing that they too are going to have a place in heaven. Surely a great shout of joy can be heard from the redeemed saints when souls are saved. You know, we should be so excited when we hear a lost person come to Christ that we just almost do cartwheels or flips. You know it? We should. Because it's so wonderful to be, because I was thinking, we had 97 at camp, and 15 out of the 97 made profession faith. So that's 15, and that's around 33%. The statistics today is one maybe out of 100 will make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. So we should really rejoice when people make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and angels, they join in to celebrate. In Revelations 12:12, it says, "For this reason rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them." And then heaven will be a place of reunion. You think about it. All the people that has gone on before us, family, it could be a husband, or it could be a wife, it could be a brother, a sister, it could be a child, anyone that you know that's already gone to heaven, one of these days is going to be a great reunion. You miss those people? We miss them, don't we? But we can be comforted knowing that, you know, heaven covers a multitude of blessings. And one of those will be that we will see our loved ones again. And King David remarked about his baby who died. In 2 Samuel 12:23, he prayed, "Dear God, bring him back. But God chose not to. And David said, "I can't go. I can't bring him back, but I can go to him." And we can't bring in any of our loved ones back here to this earth. And you know what? They wouldn't want to come back, would they? Knowing what they know about heaven. And Jesus promised in John chapter 14, verse 3, "Where I am, there ye may be also." That's a promise from Jesus that wherever he goes, there we may be also. And it would be a homecoming time, a renewing of old acquaintances. And how exciting that would be. Friends and loved ones already there. Can you imagine? You know, Jesus would be the first one I want to see. But you think about all the other loved ones. Father, mother, husband, wife, child will be standing there. And you know what? It won't be something unexpected. I'm sure there will be a phone tree going out to everybody in heaven saying, "This is the day. Everybody's coming home. Everybody will be there waiting." What an exciting day that will be. We'll meet those whom we have known from scriptures, such as Moses, Abraham, David. Then it would be worth it all when we see Jesus. But he's the first one I want to see. But every reader of God's word, every person seated here, every person that we need to remember, the prepared place is for those prepared for heaven. A man may go to heaven without health, without wealth, without fame, without name, without learning, without earnings, without culture, without beauty, without friends, without a thousand of other things. But a person cannot go to heaven without Christ. Can't do it, can we? Why not make sure today? Why not make sure that you have a place in heaven? Now, there's going to be a lot of things that takes place over the years. You know, I hear much talk about all the things that's happened with the 401k and Britain's pulling out. But this is part of prophecy. This is things that's being fulfilled right before our eyes. And for the news media and for those who really don't understand God's plan for His people, for the world itself, it's just another thing that's happening, and it is calling devastation. Well, it may, but still God's in control. He's in control of this world, military, finances. He wants to be in control of our homes, our lives as Christians. And one of these days, He'll say, okay, the Heavenly Father would look to His Son. He said, today's the day. The Bible does say that Jesus Himself don't know the day that He will come back. But when the Father looks at Him, says, today's the day, the skies will split open, Jesus will descend from heaven. He won't touch down upon this earth. But the Bible says that those who are asleep will be called up to meet Jesus in the air, and those who are alive, like you and I, are alive and remain, will be also called up to be with Jesus. And then we'll go up, and then the great the judgment seat of Christ will take place, as I said earlier. But look at all the glorious work that we can be doing until then. And not putting our cares and worries and circumstances upon thinking around the world situations and everything. But what can we do? What can we do to make a difference in this life, the life that we have remaining, so that our friends or our neighbors or our loved ones, and I'm sure every one of you have loved ones like myself that don't know Jesus Christ, and you talk with them, you pray with them, you try to encourage them, but the Holy Spirit has not yet been able to penetrate the hardened heart. But we keep praying. We'll keep seeking God's will until that happens. Until then, look, I hope and pray, and I make a plea to you, make each day count. Let people know what heaven's going to be like. Scripture said we can't even imagine, but we can have a glimpse of what heaven will be because Jesus is going to be there. He's going to be there to welcome us. Like Paul, welcome home, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into your rewards. And for those, Paul says, for those, not only for me, but for any others or everyone who loves the Lord and loves His appearing. So not only are we looking forward to heaven, but I look forward to His appearing. We got to keep that in mind. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we talked about the dead in Christ shall rise and those who remain will be caught up. And then the Bible in verse 13, it says, encourage one another with these sayings. So we are to encourage. We are to talk about it. We are to be rejoicing about whose is coming to receive us to heaven. Christ. Amen. Christ, our beloved Savior. Our Father God, we thank You this morning. I didn't even hardly just touch on heaven, the glories of it, the majesty of it. But one thing about it, You're going to be there. And that's what's going to be so wonderful. Never be night anymore. It's always going to be day, and a light is given by the radiance of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, thank You for this this time that we can just reflect and meditate on your glories and your wonderful works. And you have placed us here right in the midst of your great creation. And when you think about it, we're here for a reason. You chose to place us here. And may we take every opportunity to make each day count, not only for our own life, but for others that don't know you, so that they won't be standing in a great white throne, but in the judgment seat of Christ. When you judge Christians, may they be standing there as well, alongside. And we can look around and say, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I had this opportunity that God led me to you, to witness to you, and now you're standing here. What an awesome responsibility we have, but what a such a great privilege it is to proclaim Jesus Christ to everyone we meet. May we make that our purpose, to share Jesus Christ and what heaven's going to be like. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally today, Lord, I pray earnestly, your Holy Spirit will move throughout this congregation, touch the hearts that are good, open, and ready to receive or make a decision for you. Lord, you know who they are. I pray that your will be done in this service. Help us to make the choice that you place on our hearts and not be ashamed to step out. As Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of salvation. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in your precious Son's name. Amen. We're going to be singing 100. 100.